I've got a title of my sermon today. Thank you. I've got my title of my sermon today. It's called Slay, all right? So if you are 40 and below, it's Slay. If you're 40 and above, you take a sword out and it's Slay. Either way, you're killing it. You're looking good, all right? Or you're doing something good, so you slay. But it's not just slay in life. You slay or be slayed. There's only two options in life. Either you slay or be slayed. And I told the earlier service this morning, you know, one day on my, you know, I'm the kind of guy that I plan, all right? So I plan for, I kind of got my funeral all planned out, all right? And I kind of got my tombstone all planned out. So I one day I want to see on my plaque, right? I'm going to say, Giant Slayer, not slayed by a giant. All right? So I want to pray today that you catch this heart of this message that we are giant slayers in this place. Because there's only two options. Either you slay the giant or the giant slay you, or worst case, you are the giant. All right? That people want to slay. That's not where we want to go. But I pray that we are all giant slayers in this place. But before I continue, I want to ask a few questions. Who are the giants in your life? What are the giants in your life? And if you tell me, Pastor Isaac, there are no giants in my life, then I want to say, maybe you are the giant that people are trying to fight. That everybody has a giant they are fighting. And the giant does not necessarily mean it is an actual physical being out there and you're fighting that actual physical being. It could also be a giant and a stronghold in your heart. It could also be something that you're struggling in the flesh. It could also be a giant that, you know, you're trying to conquer the mountain of addiction for 30 years. And that giant still cannot go away. Who is the giant you're fighting? You know, before we continue, I want to give some illustrations of giants that heroes of renown have fought, whether real heroes or metaphorical heroes. Who is Superman's giant? Who kills Superman? Kryptonite. It's all right, right? So if you think you're Superman in this place, your giant is an object, which is kryptonite, all right? Whatever object that is, you know, it glitters and gold. It glitters and glow. Maybe that is your giant. You like shiny things. You like things that sparkles and shine. Maybe that's your giant that you're trying to kill. That's Superman. Or King Midas. You remember King Midas? The story of King Midas is, of course, it's a fable, but King Midas, everything he touches turns to gold. By the way, if you think that's a blessing, no, it's a curse. You know, you can't touch your wife, you can't touch your kids, you can't even drink a glass of water. Everything you touch turns to gold, right? But in this story, what is King Midas' giant that he was fighting? Greed. He's so greedy, he wants everything in this world that everything he touches turns to gold. What about this one? The Hanging Gardens of Babylon, built by King Nebuchadnezzar. You know, he doesn't have to fight. He was the best civilization on earth. He was the most advanced civilization on earth. He had no enemies to fight. He's got nothing. He's the most highest technological civilization on earth. So he built the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. And what was the giant that he fought? Pride. That could also be a giant of your heart. There is pride that you are fighting in your life. Or if you want an actual giant, now because of copyright, I can't get David and Goliath, but this is the statue of David. And there's, of course, a reason why it's only upper half. If you know, you know. If you don't know, ask your parents. Okay? That statue of David, what was the giant that he fought? He fought an actual giant, the giant of Goliath. So today, the giant that you fight could be an actual giant. It could be figurative. It could be metaphorical. It could be something in your heart. But I want you to ponder. I want you to think. What is the giant that you fight? Everybody has a giant that comes up against you. There is always something inside of you that you are struggling with and you are fighting. What is Malaysia's giant, by the way? Any guess? What is the giant that we fight? What? Oh, yes, you know, you see my slides. What is the giant that Malaysia fight? In my opinion, our currency. All right, our currency. But pray for Malaysia, okay? All right, so I've talked to my Singaporean friends. They always, I know, they have no more stronghold over our currency. In the name of Jesus, it will go down to 1.5 exchange rate. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Singapore, Buggy Chan, Singapore. I know you're listening to some of my Singaporean friends. Yeah, Buggy Chan, you know, 1.5, it's okay, man. You know, we're friends. That's Malaysia's giant. But regardless, everybody has a giant. We're small compared to the giants that we fight. Compared to the bigness and the realness. And unless here today you have zero self-awareness, then you can say safely, you have no giants. But if you have some semblance of self-awareness, you would know that you struggle against a giant. So today, we're not yet concluding the book of 2 Samuel, but we're towards the end of the book of 2 Samuel. There's two more weekends on 2 Samuel. But I'm gonna lump together five chapters. This is the end of David's life. And in the end of David's life, David had to struggle with giants. So he struggled with Goliath. Then he struggled with the giant of lust, right? And ego and pride. That we saw that 3 weeks ago. And now he's struggling with a different giant in his life. So giants can transform. Giants can change. And I pulled this out of all the five chapters. I pulled chapter 21, 15 to 22. So because I'm still nursing something, could you help me read it? Is that okay? 3, 2, 1. And he became exhausted. And who was armed with a new sword said he would kill David. But Abishai, son of Zeruiah, came to David's rescue. He struck the Philistine down and killed him. Then David's men swore to him, saying, "Never again will you go out with us to battle, so that the lamp of Israel will not be extinguished." In the course of time, there was another battle with the Philistines at Gob. At that time, Sibekai the Hushahite killed Saph, one of the descendants of Rapha. In another battle with the Philistines at Gob, Elhanan, son of Jair the Bethlehemite, killed the brother of Goliath the Gittite, who had a spear with a shaft like a weaver's rod. In the still another battle which took place at Gath, there was a huge man with six fingers on each hand, six toes on each foot, 24 in all. He was also descended from Rapha. When he taunted Israel, Jonathan, son of Shimeah, David's brother, killed him. These four were descendants of Rapha in Gath, and they fell at the hands of David and his men. You know, I'm looking at a room full of giant slayers. And I believe that you are. Even if you don't believe you are, I believe that you are. And I want to pray one day at your headstone. By the way, I'm not trying to be gory, okay? It's okay to plan for the end of your life. I always start with the end in mind. At your headstone, I want to pray that it reads, "Adam, giant slayer, he and his men." I want it to read, "Auntie Jinai, giant slayer, her and her ladies." I want it to read, you, giant slayers, you and your friends. And I want to pray that you catch this spirit, and I want to pray that you catch something that will shift in the atmosphere when we shift seasons in SIBKL in 1 month's time. But I want to draw our attention to how this verse started. You see, it started by saying, once again, the Philistines came up against Israel. Once again. Do you know that the battles that you fight when you are a youth, once again, your enemy will come to fight you when you're 70 years old. If you do not win the battle in your youth, once again, the enemy will come to fight and to rear its ugly head against you when you are 70 years old. There are mixed generations in this house. You range from 15 all the way to 75. But it matters not whether you're 15, 35, 55, or 75, the enemy will once again come up to attack you. Whether you win at 15, they will once again rear its ugly head at 75. Even if you lose at 15, then of course the enemy will once again come to attack you when you are 75. Because whether you like it or not, or believe it or not, the enemy only has one agenda: to rob you of what God wants you to do in your life. To make you inefficient. To make you and us as Christians a person of no use. You really have no use. You know, sometimes you go into a workplace, or sometimes when people come, I mean, if you're a business owner, well, there's nothing I can use you for in this workplace. Really nothing I can use you for. And that is exactly what the enemy wants for you. In the church as you come, we actually want to see there's nothing that God can use you for, because you have been rendered ineffective for Jesus. You have been slayed by the giant, and you're no longer giant slayers. You see, in this chart, When David first killed Goliath, he was 15 years old in 1 Samuel chapter 17. It was 55 years later that another four giant came to kill and tried to kill Israel. He fought one, he won. But just because you're 70 years old, it does not mean the enemy will stop trying to hunt you. So I want to just say to the church, there is no season of complacency in our Christian life. There should never be a season of idleness in our Christian life. It should never be, oh, okay, la, I've won this battle, never mind, la. It's all right, let's just rest on our laurels. There will never, should never, ever be a season of complacency, because even if you killed one giant, the Lord is saying to you, you have four more to slay in your older age. And now you slay them with your maturity, with your wisdom. Just so you know, when David slayed Goliath, what did he use? He just used a sling. That's all he needed in his youth. I only need a sling to kill you. But when he was in his older age, when he was 70 years old, and when four giants came to fight him, did he still use a sling? No. Now he's dressed in kingly robes and armor. He's got his kingly sword. He's got his armor. He's got his shield. And now he doesn't fight alone. He's got four mighty men standing next to him, and he's got the whole of Israel fighting for him next to him. You see, seasons change, people. Sometimes the weapons that we use to fight our enemies in our youth will no longer be the weapons that we use to fight in our young adults, and no longer be the weapons to fight when we retire. Which is why transition in ministry is so important, because what you used to know is now no longer valid, because the enemy comes at you in different ways and you're moving into a different season. Which is why a generational church is so unique. It's so beautiful. It's something for us to preserve. Because here in this church, I can speak to children ministry and I know what they're going through. I can go to youth and I know what they're going through. I can go all the way to young adults, to families, to young families, to adults. And I can go to Golden Eagles and I know what they're fighting. And I want to tell you this. It is the same enemy that we're fighting. Just different generations. It's the same enemy that we're fighting. Just different generations. I want to sum up four chapters, and then I'm going to go into my point. And here's the summary, okay? Very quick summary. In the four chapters of David's life, really towards the end before he passed and go to be with God, in chapter 18, he had to deal with Absalom's rebellion. See, Absalom was his second son. Absalom has already killed his first son, Amnon. Absalom ran away, came back, and now Absalom says, I want to be king. And so David, the father, had to deal with a son's rebellion. You know, if you're a father in this house, you would understand the pain if your son is rebellious. You would feel that pain, won't you, if you're a parent in this house? What, imagine what David had to go. It's not just rebellion against your parenting style. It's now saying, I want to kill you because I want to take your place. Just so you know, when a new king takes over, what Absalom was saying to King David is, I want to kill you, David, so that I can be king. Because the moment David is still alive, there will be groups of followers that still want to follow David. So that's what they do in the olden days. That's what a son would say to the father. And the father has to quench a rebellion by his own son. But when he won, David had to go back and be king. And when David went back to be king, on that journey of Absalom's rebellion, there were so many pockets of resistance here and there and there and there. When he came back as king, people were saying, you're going to have to kill all those people that resisted you. But King David had a different heart. Do you know what he did? He forgave. Ooh, just if you're in, okay, no one here is a king. So no one here has army and a nation to. But imagine in your business, there was a coup in your business. You managed to quench the coup in your business, but you know that there are departments in your office that are rebelling against you. What would you do as the boss? You would, I would most likely think, replace. Because you're the boss, you can do whatever you want. You can replace, hire somebody else, hire people that are for you. But what did David do? He forgave, and he gave them back their station. He forgave them. What a heart of the king. Then move forward, chapter 20. Not only son's rebellion, now he had to deal with Sheba's rebellion. By the way, I know it says it's Sheba, but it's really a him, okay? This is not a pronoun thing. This is not a gender thing. All right, in the Old Testament, no such thing back then, okay? So it's Sheba, but actually it's a Heba. All right, anyways. So it's a him. He was leading the rebellion, okay? That's just his name. Okay, small joke. Just throw it in. He was leading. By the way, he managed to get the support of 11 tribes. How many tribes are there in Israel? 12. How many tribes supported David? One. His own tribe, the tribe of Judah. One tribe against 11, David had to go and quell Sheba's rebellion. Then moving on to chapter 21, the Gibeonites. See, who are the Gibeonites? The Gibeonites were a tribe, a Canaanite tribe, which means they're not Israeli, they're not Jew. They're a Canaanite tribe that during Joshua's time, now you can forget Saul, let's go back 2 years into our pulpit study. Joshua's time, when Joshua was conquering the Canaan land, all right, there was this group called the Gibeonites. They came to Joshua and they did a ploy. They did some trickery and they tricked Joshua and his men into making a covenant of peace between the Israelis and the Gibeonites. So Joshua said, okay, we will honor the covenant of peace even if the contract that you did was done in bad faith. All right, I think nowadays, I'm not a lawyer, but if you do a contract in bad faith, the contract can be nulled. Am I correct? I don't know if I'm correct, but am I correct? If I'm wrong, forgive me, okay? I'm a theologian, not a lawyer, okay? But Joshua said, we will honor the contract. Then Saul broke the contract. Saul said, he went in to kill the Gibeonites and the Canaanites. And then the Canaanite says, I cry out to you, King David. Your king tried to kill us, but you have a covenant of oath with our forefathers. Will you honor it? And David says, we will honor that oath. Even though he had the power to kill, you will honor the oath. Then the Philistines attack. What is my point? I want to go to the main point of my sermon today. It's either you slay or you be slayed. There's nothing else in life. The enemy is like a roaring lion. Every single minute of the day, he is roaring and looking for weaknesses in your life, in your family, in your business, and in the church in order to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So either you win the fight or you lose the fight. Either you slay or be slayed. And today I want to give you handles on how to slay and be giant slayers. Are we ready, church? First point, unity in the house. Unity in the house. I want to point out something so significant in this last portions of David's life. Before he could fight the Philistines, before he could win an external battle, he had to quench 2 civil wars in his house. He had to quench the rebellion of his son and the rebellion of Sheba. He had to kill 2 rebellions and unite the whole of Israel before he went to fight the Philistines. The lesson is this. Before you want to try to kill an external giant that is out to fight for you, where is the unity in your house? There's only 2 houses we're talking about here. It's either your family or the church. I want to address both. Let me talk about the first one, Absalom's rebellion. You see, David had to deal with family issues. Just, who here have no family issues? You have 0. Okay, I'm not the only one. Hallelujah. Good for us. We all have family issues. There is nobody here without family issues. Now, but none of us can compare with King David. He had to quell his son's rebellion. How many of us here, you want to win the battle against your son's addiction to computer games? You want to fight that spirit of addiction that holds your son? You want to fight the spirit of addiction to gambling, of financial breakdown in your home? You want to fight that spirit that holds you? You want to fight a lustful spirit in your family? You want to fight a spirit of dissension? You know, wow, why are you fighting? Father, mother, and then mother, son, and then mother, daughter, father, grandson, everybody's fighting. Why are you fighting? Oh, because of something my father said to me 18 years ago. And I still cannot get over it. And I go, oh, what did he say 18 years? I don't know. I cannot remember anymore. But I'm still angry. I said, oh, like that also can. Okay, all right. You're going to have to deal with your internal battles before you can fight an external giant because the enemy will want to kill your family. How many of us have family problems in this place? How many parents in the house, you know your sons and daughters have been wayward from the faith, backslidden from the faith? They have left the church. How many? Now, I'm not here to condemn you. All I'm here to say is that the enemy is out to kill families. Why? Because family, the institution of family was instituted by God way in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 2. And because it's such a rooted institution that God loves the family unit, the enemy will come to kill, steal, and destroy everything your family wants to build. And before you can fight the spirit of disunity, you want to fight the spirit of whatever it is that's coming up against your family, let me ask you, are you willing to unite your house? Are you willing to unite and come together as a family? Or is Chinese New Year reunion dinner the only time you see each other? Or is it, I don't want to see you, lah. Very, very paiseh to see your face. And then you come into the house, oh, my uncle is here, okay, change church. I don't know. That's just an example. Where is the unity in the family unit? And today, for all the call, I want to pray for families. Father's Day is coming up. I want to invite you for Father's Day. Father's Day, we're going to pray for families. And it doesn't matter your father or mother, okay? Come. Because we're going to pray for families this Father's Day. And we want the family to be strong. Now, there's not only family unity. There's also unity among the tribes of Israel. Sheba's rebellion. 11 tribes versus one tribe. In the church of Jesus Christ, can I just open this can of worms and feed the worms? Okay, let me just talk ugly about church. Because church is not a perfect place. Church is not the best place. We are a hospital for the worst sinners on earth. Are you not? I am. Okay, I am. All right? But it's the best place to be because we're here acknowledging that we're the worst sinners, but we have the best Savior. That's why we're here in the church. Am I not right? Amen? But because in this part of eternity, we've got our flesh, I will surely rub shoulders with you. There will be friction one to another. You may like the lights at 100%. The other person want the lights at 50%. And then you've come in, want the light at 0%. All right? Who do we please? So we make it at 45%, all right? That's why it's at 45% now, all right? Everybody wants something. Everybody has a different opinion. Everybody, there will be friction in the house. But I want to say, the enemy is here to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. There is only one ploy of the enemy. And how does he do it? He do it with hearts of dissension and hearts of unforgiveness in ministries and cells. That's why we always hear of leaders fighting leaders. Leaders fighting pastors. And I'm going to caveat this. I don't know who you are, and I did not plan this message around you. Okay? I did not. I'm just preaching what God says. And we go, church, okay, 11 tribes are here. Fighting with one tribe, stay here. And then we'll try to... We are Christians. The world will know that we are Christians by our love for each other. And that is why the enemy is trying to fight. So if you're a leader in this place and you're hurt, or the other person has hurt me, and you're finding it hard to forgive, I want to say, you cannot win the giant that comes to fight against your ministry when one ministry leader is fighting another ministry leader. What is the giant that worship team is fighting? Connect team is fighting. PLM ministry is fighting. So many ministries in SIBKL. Every ministry will have an objective and a giant to fight. But you cannot win that giant if you're fighting each other all the time. Cells. Cells is an important part of SIBKL. And every cell, every district, it should be aligned together so that we together as a cell group slay the four giants that is up to fight us. But we can't if one cell leader is fighting another zone leader. If a zone leader is fighting the pastor and a pastor is fighting another pastor. And today I'm calling for unity in the house. We're coming to the most fragile season of SIBKL. The transition. I'm telling you, it's not going to take 1 year. It will take years. Why? But Pastor, why? Why must it take years? Because here in SIBKL, we want to do it well. We want to do it in the best way possible to honor God and honor what God wants to do in this house. I want to say to us all, SIBKL, we have a giant to fight. We have a mission in this church to complete. I want to just say it. People always ask me, and it's fine, it's good to ask, and thank you for asking. I'm really appreciative. But I want to answer everybody one shot. They ask me, Pastor Isaac, what would you change in the transition? What would you change in the handover? And I want to say, once and for all, I have no plans of changing anything just of yet. Why? I don't see myself as a leader changer. I see myself as a steward of what God wants to do through this church. God is the commander-in-chief. I am not the commander-in-chief. God is the champion of this church. He is the commander-in-chief. And when he says, you go fight this giant, I say, I will go fight this giant. And then I will tell you, let's go fight this giant. And that's why it's so important to have unity in the house. Because here in SIBKL, we have a mandate to influence, to impact generations by being inspired by God. And if you don't know our vision, there's a right on the wall. Now these days, now because it's on the wall, nobody has an excuse. We are inspired by God, right? And whatever it is, we've got our core values, which is Bible-based, Christ-centered, Spirit-powered. We've got our three distinctives, which is generations, spirituality, and SSS. Do you know that we've got a call by God in this church to bring prayer to the nation and to bring revival in the SSS, which is Sabah Sarawak Semenanjung. That is our call. Can you imagine? We're trying to fight this giant out there that is coming to rob us of our Christian heritage. That's all I can say. You can fill in the blanks. We are fighting that giant. But how can we fight the giant? If this block fight this block, and this block want to fight that block, then everybody down here want to fight everybody up there. And everybody of you fight me. We can't. So I want to say, there's unity in the house. You are not my enemy. I am not your enemy. We need to know that there is an enemy out there that is out to kill whatever God started in this church. And I tell you right now, I will not be an instrument used by the devil to destroy what God has started in SIBKL. It will go to the end and it will finish. We will have a mandate by God. And I want to pray that all of us here, we catch that mandate. We are friends to build God's kingdom together. Unity in the house. So today, I want to pray for the church, but I also want to pray for you. If your family is still in disarray, and you're trying to fight a specific giant that's coming up against your family, I want to pray for unity in your house, for peace and shalom in your house. That's point one. Point two, reconciliation. It's very closely linked to point one. You see, before David could fight the four giants, before he could kill the four giants, he had to do two reconciliation. Now here, Christian, here is where you say you want to follow Jesus. This is where the rubber will meet the road really hard. First reconciliation, when he became king, he had to forgive the people that were offending him, forgive the rebellion in the camp. He had to forgive people who wanted him to die so that Absalom can become king. He had to forgive. And as king, do you know what he did? Believe it or not, he forgave. But this is how he forgave. There is no clause. I read it many times. There is no caveat. There is no clause to the forgiveness. We as human beings, we love to forgive this way. Okay, I forgive you. If you also must say sorry. You also must say sorry to me. Okay, then only I forgive you. Okay, I forgive you, but you must also admit that you're wrong. Not only me wrong. Then we fight, husband and wife. Wow, fight until Jesus come again. Fight. You also wrong. You also wrong. You also wrong. Everybody wrong. Can say sorry or not? No, I say sorry. Can, but you also must say sorry. Wow, then the church leaders also fight. Are you wrong? Everybody must follow King David. When you forgive, it is not hinged on anything. There was no record in the Bible that the people who offended him even say sorry. King David, what a heart of God. He just came and says, okay, I forgive you. And I trust that even though you don't like me, we have another enemy to fight. Let's be friends. Let's be friends. Reconciliation one to another. So I want to pray that if you're hurt by leaders or church, it's okay. We're sinners saved by grace. We are bound to hurt you one way or another. Forgive us. Forgive us so that we can fight a bigger giant out there to kill us. That's the first reconciliation. There is a second reconciliation that David had to reconcile the Gibeonites. Now, I want to explain how difficult this is. If someone were to come to tell me, your father, which, by the way, my father's a good man, he doesn't owe anybody money, okay? This is just a hypothetical situation. Please don't call my father. I'm just using his name, okay? If someone come and tell me, Isaac, you owe me 10,000. because your father owed me 10,000. Now he's dead, he cannot pay, now you pay. I said, okay, all right. He said, if my father owes you, all right, let me settle my father's debt. That's fine. But David had to settle the debt that King Saul did because King Saul decided to kill the Gibeonites because he didn't honor what Joshua did. Now, this is just generational curse. This is generational everything right here. And David, if I was David, I would say, hey, you know, Saul is not my father, you know. Saul is not even my mentor, you know. Saul is a no, he wanted me dead. You know, Saul is my enemy, actually, you know. Why do I have to reconcile with a tribe because of what my predecessor did? Why? But the King David, what a man of God. He said, even though it's not my fight, even though I didn't start it, even though it has nothing to do with me, I will still, as king of Israel, as the leader of Israel, reconcile. What a heart. And if you're a leader in this house, God has called you to lead. God has called you. And sometimes it's difficult for us to be the first to reconcile. Even if it is not, hey, we didn't start this fight. This fight has nothing to do with me. This is nothing to do with my bloodline or so. This is other people's fight. But when God says, I called you to be the peacemaker, then be the peacemaker. Because humility in the kingdom is a rare trait. Why do fights happen, James 4? Why do fights happen in the church? Because we do not get what we want and we fight and fight and fight. And then it says humility is the trait. So as leaders, you're called. We are called to be humble. Fathers. Ooh, let me talk about fathers. I know it's not Father's Day, but let me address the fathers. Fathers, it is so difficult for us to reconcile to our kids. And I understand it's a cultural thing. I understand it's not my culture, it's not my, you know, we're Asians, we don't do such things. We got father say sorry to son one, we got such thing one, no such thing. But let me tell you this, when the Bible says in the book of Malachi that the hearts of the father will be reconciled to the kids and the hearts of the children will be reconciled to the father, what do you think that means? It means that the kids will say sorry, but it also means the father will say sorry. And until we as a church can grasp the humility, we have gone nowhere in reconciliation. And until we can grasp what it means to be humble before God. Because I want to say, being humble before God is not weakness. It is meekness. It is power in the Spirit to be humble. It is easy to be prideful, hard to be humble. Which is why for me, I'm trying to make it a culture in my family to say sorry to my son. You know, Daddy shouted at you. Daddy's very sorry. Daddy was stressed. Daddy had a long day. Daddy's very sorry. And to my son's, what was the word? To my son's credit, he would say sorry to me too whenever I say sorry to him. And I've done it many times. Many times. I'm not a perfect father. Any perfect fathers in the house? I want to meet you. Can you please teach me? I'm not a perfect father. I can say sorry to my son. I'm okay. Because I know that apology in humility is not weakness. It's meekness. You need strength to say sorry. You need to release your pride to say sorry. To reconcile one to another. Even if it is not your fight. Let me tell you, just a quick example, then I want to move on to my main point. My two sons were fighting. I was just bickering. I can't take bicker, okay? Just nagging and bickering just triggers me, okay? Hint. All right, so so we're bickering, and I just lost it. I just shouted at them, can you guys just stop it? Just go to your rooms and stop it. And later on, the Spirit said, what you said was right, but how you said it was wrong. Getting them to stop is good, but how you said it was wrong. Man, you see, I just used my Father's Day story. Now I have to find another Father's Day one. Anyways, this was my Father's Day sermon, by the way. Anyways, and then God says, go say sorry to them. I said, what? I'm the dad? No, it's okay. And I said, sons, Daddy's sorry that Daddy yelled at you, but I want you to know you guys should stop bickering. So I'm firm in the truth, but I'm gentle in love. And I try. I'm not perfect, but I try. And both of them said sorry to one another and sorry to me, and I was so shocked. I was like, oh, you're 3 years old, can say sorry. Oh, not bad, not bad. Okay, okay. I didn't ask you to say sorry, but you know, because they follow. And then what I learned from that, they follow the heart of the Father.
our Father in heaven gave his one and only Son in humility and obedience to reconcile us to God. And if you follow the heart of the Father, my cry and my plea to you today, let's stop fighting. Let's forgive. Let's be reconciled one to another. If you have to eat the humble pie, take the whole pie, eat. It's okay. What's wrong? There's no calories by eating the humble pie, by the way. It's okay, one. Because we follow our Father in heaven. Reconciliation. You want to kill the giant that's coming up to you? Put your house in order. Reconcile one to another. My final point. Teamwork. You can't win this battle alone. I can't win this battle alone. Let me read this portion of some place to you. I want to explain that the enemy comes up to fight you with three weapons, according to this passage, okay? Three weapons. Number one, an Ishbi-Benob, one of the descendants of Rapha, whose bronze spearhead weighed 300 shekels. That is 8 kilos, by the way, okay? That, by the way, what is 8 kilos? That is a 2-year-old boy, okay, by the way, all right? First, put your 2-year-old son on top of your spearhead. That is the spear that the enemy comes up to fight you. And then it says, and who was armed with a new sword, he said would kill David. Moving on a little bit, and then it says, Goliath the Gittite, who had a spear with a shaft like a weaver's rod. There's three ways the enemy would come up to fight you. And I want to explain this a little bit. Goliath was 9 foot 9 inches. I am 6 foot, but actually 5'11 and a half, okay? But 6 foot, all right? With my shoes, 6 foot, okay? So I'm 1.8 meters, all right? I'm 1.79, but okay, 1.8. I'm going to be truthful before God. Oh, okay, well, let's just say 1.8, okay? I'm 1.8. Goliath, being 9 foot 9 inches, is 3 meters tall. So that's 1.5, which is about here, times two. That's 3 meters tall. When they said he carried a shaft of a weaver's rod. You know what's a weaver's rod? Weavers was a weaving machine. So it's a huge machine to weave your clothes and everything those days. Let me explain. When a giant of 9 foot 3 meters giant hold a spear, this is the length of the spear. This is Goliath. And it says in the Bible, when David fought, he was exhausted. If you're a 70-year-old man in this place, and you fight a warrior that is that high, carrying this spear to fight you. By the way, in case some of you think you are Asians, right? Just in case you think you're Jet Li or something, right? That you can just swivel around the head and then come and poke me, right? Goliath is wearing armor. He's got a shield. So this is just one-handed, okay? By the way, this whole thing, this is 2 inches in diameter. It says 2.5 inches in diameter. That spearhead is 8 kilograms. And this timber is about 22 kilograms. So in all, this is 30 kilograms, all right? He carries with one arm. Then he carries a spear. Then he has a sword. A sword is about 5 foot or 6 foot because it's a broad sword. Then he's got a belt and he's got some knives. All right, in those days, they carry knives just in case you drop your sword. Then you've got a shorter blade to defend or to offend your enemy. And that's Goliath. So just in case you think you can spin around this big spear to come and attack me, I drop it, I take my sword. Thank you for coming. Good night. All right, this is Goliath. Now, if your spiritual giant came up to you with a spear this big, that's why sometimes we're incapacitated. That's why sometimes Christians were ineffective. Because we move in fear. We're scared. Rightfully so. Just scared. It's okay. It's okay to be scared. Look at that. Do you want to die by this? I don't want to die. I don't want to be Isaac Sate tonight. Skewered by a spear. And sometimes we fight an enemy who launches his ugly head. And he holds a spear. And the addiction that you're trying to fight, the enemy and the giant that you're trying to fight is this big, and you can't win,
And that's why you need teamwork. Sometimes the battles that we're trying to fight, whatever it may be, the anger, the bitterness, the unforgiveness is this big. Pastor, I cannot forgive because the stronghold, the giant that has hold you and gripped you and subjugated you looks this big. And we would rather not than do it. We would rather not fight because now we cower in fear. There is a fear that grips us. And I want you to point to this one. Ooh, do I have time? Is it okay? Can we just go above time? I really want to finish this today. It says here, the enemy was armed with a new sword. Do you know what a new sword means? When a giant that big comes up with you with a new sword, let me tell you, it is the same fight that you're fighting, but now in the next generation, they are fighting an enemy with a new type of sword. It's a different kind of sword. Let me explain what this means. Do you know that in church, we've been fighting in church since the Renaissance era, by the way, since King Henry VIII decided to break away, right? By the way, we've been fighting in church since all the way back then. That fight still exists. It's a new sword. Because now, in the 21st century, we now can fight online. Now we scold this Christian, I scold this pastor, I scold this elder, now I can do online, I spam this, I can fight. It's the same fight, a new sword. You think back then, you don't fight lust? You think 30 years ago, 40 years ago, my father's generation, my grandfather's generation, even when I'm young, we don't fight lust? We do. It's called a magazine. But nowadays, in my generation, we call it a computer. But in the Gen Z and the Gen Alpha's generation, we call it the phone. It's the same fight against lust, a new sword. See, we fight the principalities of the air that does not change its tricks. All they do is they change their sword. It's a new sword that they use to fight one generation to another generation. Which generation do you stand in? You think adultery? Don't fight up. You think 50 years ago, no such thing as adultery? Yes, they fought. But in those days, adultery is adultery lah. You know, that's it. You know, now these days, you've got apps that help you cheat lah. Then you've got this app. Then you can also cheat online lah. You can do so many things now these days with adultery. It's the same fight, a different sword. And that is why in church, join me. There is a fight for a next generation. What is the sword of the enemy that comes to steal the next generation in this church? You're going to have to join me in this fight. Don't fight the next generation. Join me in the fight, because the enemy that they fight is the same spirit that you fought when you were young. It is the same spirit. The only question is, did you kill the giant when you were 15? Or were you slayed by the giant when you were 15? Because if you killed the giant when you were 15 years old, I slayed the giant of lust. I slayed the giant of pride when I was 15 years old. Then I know when you see the next generation, because now you're 75, like David was 75. Now I know I'm fighting the same spirit of lust. I'm fighting the same spirit of pride. But now the next generation, I'm going to have to fight the four Goliaths together with the next generation so that we can have a future. So that the church can have a future. There is no point celebrating 7th 30th anniversary, so good, but 30 years down the road, there's no more SIBKL. What's the point? I want to see you at the 60th anniversary of SIBKL. And I want more. I want more people to love the Lord. I want more breakthroughs. I want more testimonies. I want more generation that is won for the Lord. I want, no longer should we use words like, this generation, I don't know what fruit nowadays is. Strawberry, blueberry, blackberry. This generation is strawberry generation. What is the point? This is the generation that needs our help. I'm 40, so I'm in between both generations. We need to do this together. We have a giant to fight. We have to fight it together. Because the giant will rear his ugly head. It is the same fight. It's a new sword. If we are blind to the sword that Goliath uses to kill us, you will be slayed by the giant, not giant slayers.
What is the next generation going through? Do we know? In 3 weeks' time, we're going to launch the Presence Conference, the Next Generation Conference. 3 weeks from now. Today is the 30th launch. 3 weeks, we're going to launch our Next Generation Conference. Stay tuned. Stay with us. But more importantly, pray with us. Pray with us. I'm not a fan of doing event for event's sake. I will explain why Presence is a conference in 3 weeks, but today I'm going to call that if you've got your sons and your daughters who are lost, who don't love God anymore, maybe, you know, my heart breaks for you. Let's join together and pray. We cannot do this alone. Because when you're 75 and you want to fight a Goliath, even David was exhausted. I'm exhausted looking after two kids. I'm just going to tell you that. I'm exhausted looking after two kids and my third kid, SIBKL. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. But my physical tiredness does not translate to my spiritual strength. Because even though I'm physically tired, I'm spiritually excited. Because I know there are friends that I can call to pray for me when I'm exhausted and to hold up my hand so that we can do this together. I know. Do you have your friends and your Johanan and your Abishai to fight together with you when you cannot hold? Do you know that the four men that killed the four Goliaths, they were not 15 years old, by the way. They were 40 to 50 years old. David was 70 years old. When he raised, Abishai is his nephew. Johanan was his nephew. The other two was from the other two tribes. They're not that young. They were 40 and 50 years old. They were my age when they slayed the Goliath. And I look at the passage and it says, I want to be a giant slayer. And I want to raise the next generation to be giant slayers together with us. I need that next generation because who knows? I'm not going to be around forever. I'm not going to live forever. But I want to see the Church of Jesus Christ strong. I want to see John. There's Leanne right there. I want to see my sons, your sons, your sons. Together, they will lead this church to the future. That's my goal and my objective. I plan and I see the end in mind. That's what I want, and I'm calling you to join together, to be united, to be reconciled one to another. Because I will not let the enemy take the next generation. What about you? What about you? Will you stand and fight? Or will you cower and sit in the room and complain about the next generation? That's one. What about this generation? What is the battle that this generation is fighting? Whether you're 40 or 50 or 60 or 70, what is the battle that we are fighting? Coming to church. If you're 40 and 50, I'm going to appeal to you right now. Come to church. Come to physical church. Do you know the giant that we're fighting? Complacency and comfortability at home. The new giant we're finding is, okay, I'm just gonna scroll through the churches. Ah, Joseph Prince sounds good. You can listen to him, he's great. Ah, this other pastor sounds good. Oh, Elevations today. Oh, Transformations today. Oh, this church. Oh, that church. Oh, okay. Now I'm gonna go to Reformed Theology. Oh, let's go to the other side of pastors. Oh, I got another. Oh, everybody's at home just looking up churches. That's not the church. This is the church. But God says, you come. Now, I rub shoulders with you. I might be unhappy with you. That's okay. Let's reconcile one to another. That is the church. That's how God builds your character through the church. What is the church? Where God says, serve me in my house. If you love me, obey me and serve me in my house. You cannot serve God when you're at home scrolling YouTube and trying to check out for the sermon that speaks to you and speaks to you only. Come to church. I know I'm a bit harsh today, but I'm still going to give it. Come to church, because this is where God says, in my house, you would serve me. And when you serve me, you would find that everybody's broken. Then you need to be more humble to forgive. Then you need to be more humble to serve. And at the end of our life, when God has broke us, He will remold us to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. That when the world sees us, they do not see an ineffective Christian. They see a follower of Jesus Christ. Because now when I see a giant that holds a spear, guess what I have to fight with me? I have a bigger giant on my side. I have a giant that lives in me
There is no fear. You know, 2 years ago, somebody said to me, the next generation of SIBKL is obliterated. Pastor Isaac, what are you going to do about it? Are you scared? You know what I said? I said, I'm going to have a spirit of Caleb. Give me this mountain. I will fight. I will fight for the next gen. Will you fight with me? Will you fight together? Will we be a church together? Will we be united together? Because with the Word of God, all things are possible. All things are possible. All things are possible. Because he who is in me is stronger than he who can be against me. What is there for me to hear? I need just to be stand still and I will see the deliverance of the Lord. Why is it so pertinent today? Whatever giants that you're fighting, today is the best day to fight those giants and to start fighting, because today is Pentecost Sunday. And today, 2,000 years ago, God said that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And when the Holy Spirit descended upon a group of people in the upper room 2,000 years ago, they broke out in tongues, they broke out in flames, they broke out in spirit, they broke out in excitement, and the gates of hell will not prevail against them. They would live for Christ, they would die for Christ. Now I ask, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will live for Christ and you will die for Christ. How do I know? Because Zechariah says, not by my might, not by my power, but by my spirit. Ezekiel says, I will give you a heart of flesh, not a heart of stone. I will give you a new heart, a new spirit, a heart of flesh, not a heart of stone, a heart that would follow after me and obey everything that I've commanded you. Acts. What does Acts say about the Holy Spirit? And I will pour out on the end of days and the last of days, I will pour out my spirit upon the church. And young men, sons and daughters, will prophesy in my name. Old men will dream dreams and young men will see visions. When the Spirit of God comes upon you, the giants in your life will look like peanuts and ants before you, because there is a bigger giant that is on our side. And his name is Jesus Christ. And there's a Holy Spirit that lives within us, who is a bigger giant. So what is there to fear? Let's stand together. Let's stand together. And I want to usher the Holy Spirit. And before we sing this song, I want to pray for certain groups. If you are a parent in this house and your children are wayward, I don't need you to raise your hands. I just need you to believe in faith. And we're going to pray for you to intercede on your behalf. It's from now until the launch of Presence. There's 3 weeks for an inner conviction of the Holy Spirit for them to come to conference. In the name of Jesus. Father, Lord Jesus, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Father, Lord Jesus, that parents in this house will not cower in fighting the spiritual giant. Lord Jesus Christ, because of the Holy Spirit that is imparted and imbued into us all, Lord Jesus, I pray that we stand up for our generation. We stand up and we take authority in the home and we speak life into our children and our children's children and the generation, that they would wake up. In the name of Jesus, their spirit will wake up and they will see that who you are, and they will be excited for you, Father Lord Jesus. So I pray for families in this place. If you are going through a hard time in your family, you're going through a disunity in your family, you're going through a broken family maybe, or maybe there's unforgiveness in your family, we want to pray for you this morning in the name of Jesus. Whoever it may be in this house, I pray that families will be reconciled one to another in this place. I pray, Father Lord Jesus, that there will be humility in asking for forgiveness in this place, because forgiveness is not weakness. Forgiveness is meekness. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that in this house there will be reconciliation in the family unit, and families will come together to be excited for you, Lord Jesus Christ, that we will see loved ones come into the house. We will see loved ones come back into the house and love Jesus together. In the name of Jesus, if you're in this place and you are a ministry leader or a cell leader or any kind of leaders in this house or a past leader, and you have some sort of hurt, you can't forgive, you can't let go, I want to pray for you in the name of Jesus. There is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I want to pray, Father Lord Jesus, that here in this house, there is a spirit of forgiveness that would flow. I pray, Lord Jesus, that there would be a release of your forgiveness that would flow in this house, Father Lord Jesus. Father God, I pray for the spirit of humility that would flow in this house, Father Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Father God, that we will be reconciled one to another because we are in the ministry of reconciliation. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that in this house you will preserve the unity. You will preserve us one to another, and there's just a sweet release of forgiveness in this place. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Last category before we worship, and I want to usher the Holy Spirit in. Last category, if you have a spiritual giant that you're fighting in your personal life. Now this one, I want you to raise your hands. And it doesn't matter what spiritual giant it may be, but you're fighting a spiritual giant. From A to Z, whatever it may be, I invite you to raise your hands and I want to pray for you. You're fighting a spiritual giant. From the beginning of the sermon, I asked, what is your spiritual giant? And you felt a prick in your heart that you know what it is. That is your giant that you're fighting. Raise your hands. I want to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, Lord Jesus, you see hands raised. Father, Lord Jesus, you see giant slayers in his house. In the name of Jesus, giants will want to come and rob them of their destiny. Giants will want to come and steal their destiny in you. But Lord Jesus Christ, because of the Holy Spirit, we have the power of heaven, Lord Jesus, to stand up with our head held high because you are the glory and the lifter of my head. You are my deliverer. You are my deliverance. And I thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray for a breakthrough that this year that they will experience a breakthrough, Father, Lord Jesus. In this house, when they come, they will experience a breakthrough in their spirit, a breakthrough in their heart, a breakthrough in their physical being that they can break through, and then Lord Jesus Christ can break into your life so that you will live a life for Jesus Christ and for Jesus Christ alone. So I thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, Lord God, Holy Spirit, that you descend upon them. You descend upon them, Holy Spirit, and in their hearts and hearts in their spirit, they know that they know that they are walking with the Almighty God, that their giant behind them is the Almighty God, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. They have nothing to fear, Lord Jesus Christ. They will only have a spirit of love, a spirit of power, and a sound mind. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, and we ask you now, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and fall upon us now. Thank you, Jesus.
Come, Holy Spirit, fall on me now. I need your anointing, come in your power. I love you, Holy Spirit, you captivate my soul. And every day, I grow to love you more. Come, Holy Spirit, fall on me now. I need your anointing, come in your heart. I love you, Holy Spirit, you're captivating my soul. And every day I grow to love you more. I'm reaching for your heart. You hold my life in your hands, drawing me closer to you. I feel your power in you. Nothing compares to this place where I can see you face to face. I worship you. Spirit and in truth, come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Yes, God.
Sabashaka na bayara ba 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 ba. Soroboshaka bayara ba 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 ba. Sabashaka bayara ba shabayara ba 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 bayara ba.
Oh yes, oh God.
I love you, Holy Spirit. You're captivating my soul, and every day I grow to love you more. I'm reaching for your heart. You hold my life in your hands, drawing me closer to you. I feel your power in you. Nothing compares.
worship you in spirit and in truth. I worship you in spirit and in truth.
Saba shaka bayara basana bayara bayara bashaka na bayara ba 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 ba. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, come and fall in this place. Come and be amongst us, God, and give us the strength when we have no more strength. Give us the grace when we have no more grace. Give us the mercy.
Yes.
Give us the energy and the strength when we have got no more. Father, Lord Jesus, be Holy Spirit, reignite that fuel, that oil, that flame within us, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, I pray that we will leave this place with a fresh impartation of the Holy Spirit, that we will leave this place anew, refreshed, anointed by God on the Most High to never back down from our giants, to fight. If it takes 55 years to fight this giant, we will take 55 years to fight together. We will do this together. So we want to pray, Father Lord Jesus, for families. May there be peace in their families. May there be the shalom of God that would rest in their families. May the dove of the Holy Spirit rest upon you and your family, Lord Jesus. I want to pray for SIBKL. I pray for peace, for the Holy Spirit to rest in this place. Rest in this place, Holy Spirit, that we know we are led by you, we are moved by you, and we serve you and love you, Holy Spirit. So I thank you, Lord Jesus, that this is your house. This is your house. It belongs to you. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will always manifest your presence here. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that there is a strong encounter from this weekend henceforth, Father, Lord Jesus, as people come into this place, the presence of God will just fall on them and they will know that they are loved by the Most High, and they will experience breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough in this place. So I thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you, God. We love you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, church.